Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, and out of the mouth of children and infants you have ordained praise, that you might silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our Holy Father, righteousness surrounds thee, exalted King of all the earth. Who can approach thy greatness? Who can approach thy holy light? For thou art God and God alone. O blessed Master, author of salvation, I lift my hands and bless your name. Eternal is thy glory, eternal is thy power and might. You are the source. His church said hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, will you want to stand? Now, I hope you do. I hope you do. It's so nice to be here. My first time here. Brought my wife Penny with me. So I grew up in camp meetings. And so I'm used to cobwebs and spiders and hot weather, you know, and having church in hot weather. But this is pretty nice. You got this. You can't see these glass panels when you drive up. You go, open air tabernacle. And then And then you feel this air when you get inside. You trick people, don't you? But anyway, it's wonderful to be here in this air. It feels wonderful. And let's see, Maddie Helen. Is Maddie Helen in here? Is that two people? Or is that one name? Is she here? She gave us a nice little welcome note in our room. So I wanted to say thank you, Maddie Helen. She's with the kids. All right. Well, you pass that along to her, will you? And I'm glad to be here. And the snacks in the basket with the note are nice, too, you know. But anyway, are you ready to sing? This is an old camp meeting song. Actually, two or three put together. Are you ready? All right. Put them up there, guys. There we go.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now saved am I.
Everybody knows the chorus.
Love lifted me. Will love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Will love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
I love this verse.
All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful loving service to him belongs.
Everybody sing.
Lifted me, well, love lifted me. I know that when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Well, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. I know when nothing else could help. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? How are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Sing it again.
Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will by his grace out of the angry waves. 'Cause he's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. And he your savior wants to be, so be saved today.
Take it up a notch.
Love lifted me. Lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Yes, hallelujah. when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. Oh, see from his head. Think of it, oh love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life. Bids me to come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. Oh, love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Praise the Lord. I love those words. Let's seek him.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you every day.
defense and my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. 'Cause holiness is Christ in me. Oh, where you are, Lord, I am free. And holiness is Christ in me. Lift your voice to him and sing, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense. Just I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, because I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Because I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, we need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sing it like one big choir. Is it the cry of your heart during this camp? I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Is that better? Okay, you can hear me? Okay, could you not hear me earlier? Oh, okay. So, let's start all over. All right, what I was going to say is, how many of you is that is your prayer? Lord, I need you every hour. I need you. I've tried to go an hour. I've tried to go weeks. I've tried to go months. On my own, guess what I did? Same thing you did. Same thing you did. Are you thankful for a God that forgives and redeems and loves and grace and mercy? It's amazing. All right, some more announcements. First of all, there are some fans because, yes, even though we have air conditioning, it's hard to catch up to Georgia. So these things are giving us all they can right now. Hopefully we can tweak them a little bit. But if you get a fan that says, with love from the newlyweds, anybody got that fan? Those were donated from a wedding, just in case you need to know. In fact, it was Dr. Carter's granddaughter, Shelby, her wedding, and her Shelby and Luke's wedding. All right, I want to introduce you to someone. You guys probably know him, Mr. Jim Carter. Connor, he runs our bookstore. Are you open tonight, Mr. Jim? He is open tonight. But he also does a good job of keeping track of filling up our card holder thingies that are on the wall. You can get your brochure there if you don't have a brochure. Or make sure you get one of these prayer requests and write down your prayer request on this. And you can put it in the offering plate or you can leave it on the altar. But every morning we pray for these prayer requests. You can put your name on it if you want. If you want it to be anonymous, you can just put the prayer. And every morning at 7:30, we meet in here for prayer. And we cover each of those prayer requests. And let me tell you, we have seen slip after slip after slip of God being faithful and God answering prayer in a powerful way. Prayer is powerful. And what a huge advantage to have access to that power and that hope. Also, look in front of you, and you'll see the Taylor County Camp donation envelope. You can put all of your money or all of your checks inside of this envelope and drop it into the offering plate when we pass. Make sure you fill it out there. Or you can use the scan here, and it'll take you to our donating page where you can donate that way as well. All right, some quick announcements. Let's see. Sunday, well, at Friday, OCU will not be in concert there on it'll be just Reverend Jay Fraser delivering the message. But that night at 9:15, we will welcome the Donahues. We have Andreas and Bethany Donahue. Where are they? They're sitting in the back. Y'all stand up. They're our missionaries from WGM. To Paraguay. Now listen to this. How many percent funded are you? Like 90... 90% funded. They can't go to the field till they're at 100%. Do you think Taylor County Camp can get them to the field? Let's try to pick up this 10%. They only need $596,000 to go. No, I'm just kidding. I think we can get that 10%, don't you? Let's try hard to get that 10% and get them to Paraguay. Some of you might know Andreas's mother and father, Phil and Bev, right? Mark. I don't know why Phil was in my mind. Mark and Bev, they were in Bolivia, and I remember them from Bolivia. They've been to other places, but that's where I remember them from. But they're Taylor County Camp family. They've been here years ago, and so now we have a chance to get their son to the field in Paraguay. Are the Strongs here yet? Tomorrow. They're coming in tomorrow. Okay. The Strongs are going to be here. They have an important job. They stay in America. They work at the headquarters. They are in Marion at WGM, and they're trying to get fully funded. They work the Abbott Center, which is kind of like one of our hotel rooms here. You can rent out a room, and they give missionaries rest and renewal. And trying to talk to them about how impactful their job is, because it's easy to think I'm not a missionary because I'm not in another country. It's really easy to get that perception. But really, the job that they have has a way of ministering to so many nations just being in that one spot in Marion, Indiana, because they can take care of missionaries and they take care of the board at WGM while they're there. And so that helps out a lot. So that'll all be on Friday after service. You can meet and greet with the Strongs and with the Donahues up here after service. And that'll be after the service. And then Sunday, we have the Potter House girls that are going to share with us on Sunday. And we know every year that that is a treat. And so we'll get to hear from the Potter's House. There, I think I got all of my stuff announced. You'll see announcements coming up here on the loop as well. All right, can I get four ushers to come forward? Just any four ushers. This has, I am behind this year. This has been an interesting year. With last minute stuff, I almost said, okay, Dr. Carter, you're going to have to take back over. I don't think that would have gone over so well. But listen, what I know is the enemy didn't want us here this week. And what I know is that he's real and he's been fighting. But what I know is even the enemy bows at the name of Jesus Christ. And so this week, we will shed the enemy and we will glorify the one that is so mighty and so powerful and sovereign. Go ahead and take out the envelope that's in front. On that is a youth share for $50. Wouldn't it be great if we got in 10 or 15 youth shares tonight to get us started helping out with the donations for our youth? Mr. Jim, would you mind praying?
Father, bless the gift and the giver in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who'd have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of man? Oh, but you rescue the souls of man. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And you give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Jesus, we're falling before your throne. Oh, and you are the one that we pray. That our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And you
wonderful, merciful Savior.
Good evening. Am I on? Good evening. I was on this.
My pastor used to say that the enemy hangs out in technology. I think that's so true. Am I on now? I think that's correct. Maybe that was a good icebreaker. I don't know. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2 in a few minutes. And I want to, the first night, as customarily you do this, this is also very, very unique for us. I feel like it's coming and going up here. I don't know. Are we okay? Might have to use, what if I walk around? Is the podium going to follow me? All right. I apologize for that. I'll try to stay here, but maybe. I do want to share some things with you. I feel like first night, maybe the elephant in the room, if you will. What a great honor. Several months ago when I envisioned this and how this night would be and this week, it doesn't feel the way it feels now. But I've also played this in my mind. Ten weeks ago, our life changed forever. Mostly everybody in this room would know that. And early on, I talked to Brother Wayne, called me. We talked. Brother Doug had every opportunity to step away. Went back in my pulpit 2 weeks ago, one of the hardest things I've ever done. A church that loved us. Much like I was loved here for 22 years. I felt that. And so walking through that, I just, every thought, this is the way I've always let the Lord lead me when I allow him to lead me, is, God, what do you want me to do? And whatever gut feeling I have, that's what I do. I know that might be oversimplification for some of you spiritual folks, but I just, that's the way I feel. I've got some on my plate right now that we've had some invites that are legacy stuff to my daughter that God took to heaven. And we've been invited to go do some things. And Suzanne and I said, what do you want to do? And I said, I know not to do it. I don't feel right. So I know we're going to do it. It's just going to be another one of those things. But when it came to Taylor County Camp, I just had peace about coming. I don't know. Brother Doug said something, and you know, Brother Doug and I are pretty wordy. I said both of us, Brother Doug. But I will never forget the words that he said. I think you have a story to tell. Brother Doug, I'll remember that the rest of my life. I have a story to tell. Other people in this room have been through that. It's not unique to us. We're all going to suffer this side of eternity. Ours is just before us now, and it's something that it is what it is. But I've appreciated all the prayers. I've gotten good at my favorite text is a heart. You don't have words. I've appreciated everything. I know I speak for Suzanne. Zane and Abby Kate will be here Sunday. This is the first time. It was very solemn riding over here a couple of days ago. because I think this is the first time that Suzanne and I have been away from our other two. So walking through that, I like to say, it is what it is. I don't know what God has planned for this week. I don't think it's going to be the normal. And all I can say about the normal is I've got 22 years of normal when I lived here. And all I know is I've sought the Lord. The last song reminded me of that. As I've sought the Lord, I've felt different than just, I'm going to show up at Taylor County and let all the church see what God has done more in my life the last 13 or 14 years. It's got to be more than that. One of the things that I wrestle with is I don't believe a righteous God would allow his children to hurt without a goal or a mission or a desire or something. And I've already had a lot of people that have said, man, you amaze me that you're still going to trust him and you're still going to rely on him. I said, what else do we have? Suzanne and I have said it with regularity. That's all I got. And I know one day it's going to be okay. Already therapeutic for me is Mallory is perfect as we speak. She is in every way, in totality, the way God intended her to be, and sin messed it up. But God, by the blood, atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, has fixed it. That doesn't help over here. I'll share a little bit, not about this. I'll tell you this from my heart. I've been saying this. I did not come here for 8 days for it to be a memorial service every time I get up here. I think God's called us to more than that. I really do. I'm already working through therapeutically for me to say we got to go on. I'm going on with my child, not leaving her somewhere. That's just therapy today. I want to say this from the depths of my heart. That burden is lifting a little bit where we can go on with God's business. But when I was asked to be here this year, and when I found out that Doug Carter was the other evangelist, I thought to myself, I thought, man, if I can just walk in his shadow, I'll carry his water. Brother Doug, anything you need, I'm honored. And I say that from the depth of my heart. I have some heroes. They go on one hand. They're less than five. Doug Carter's one of them. Doug Carter's one of them. He'll never know the amount of times that he's reached out through the years and just encouraged me. And sometimes it was a God thing. Because I greatly needed it. But I'm honored to be here this week with Doug Carter. I'll tell you this, don't listen to me. But be here for the Bible study. And by the way, it was announced a while ago that I was preaching on Friday night. I'm not going to do that. Brother Doug's preaching on Friday night. So you want to make every one of those because I know God will use it. But I've come with one today. I was walking down the road at Orange Beach. And just as clear as I'm talking to you in my heart, there was a thought that came to my mind for tonight. Zane and I have a lot of conversations about, Daddy, you just going to go get some of them sermons you always preach and preach it to them? I said, maybe some of them, but not the first one. I have a premise for you tonight, and it's going to go against your theology a little bit. Probably some people say he's almost, sounds like a heretic. But really tonight, there's a lot of debate through the years of whether somebody can lose Jesus or not. The church has been divided, and that's not the direction I'm going, by the way. I'll just ease your mind. You know, I've been there before when all of a sudden somebody thought they needed to help me with my theology when they were preaching. That's not it. There's a story found in the Word of God where the parents of Jesus lost him. And I fear in our life that we've talked about knowing the Lord so much and having a relationship with the Lord so much that sometimes there's a lot more distance in our life when it comes to the Lord than we would ever want to admit. I might even approach this subject in a few days. It's been on my heart. It's one of the subjects where God dealt with my heart, is that I think we get in a place sometimes where we've been right and talked right and all that so long that somewhere along the line we've lost him. And I'm not talking about eternity. I'm not talking about not being saved or converted or going to heaven if you take your last breath. But I'm saying something happens in our life. That closeness, there's more distance. Maybe there's a distraction. Maybe we've been derailed. Maybe there's something that's come along in our life. Maybe the daily activities of the world affect us in such a way that we look and all of a sudden we can't find him. Been there. I'll say it one more time in this way. It means everything to be right when the bad comes along. It's awful hard to find him when your life goes upside down and you don't have it right with him before it comes along. Hard to find him when you're hurting. And I just want to pose that to you today. A neat, neat story that's found in the Word of God, and I want to share it with you tonight. It's another thing. Several years ago, I came across the Christian Standard Bible, and it was a Holman to begin with. And I read out of that, and I hope you can follow along if that's not your translation. But I would invite you to stand and honor God's Word tonight. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to try to only keep us as long as we need to stay, right? Verse number 41 through 52 is our text, and you follow along, and then I'll pray, and you can be seated. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was with the traveling party, what a word, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him around their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Can I say one therapeutic thing to you? And I know this applies to others in this room. I've already made eye contact with them. There's sometimes we think we know what God's up to, and we don't have a clue. Mary thought it was all about her. With all the words, with all the favor, with all the angelic revelation that she had, everything that she had, she thought she was talking to Jesus about what Jesus had done to her. And I'll tell you something. If Mary can miss it, Jay Frazier can miss it. Let's continue. Why were you searching for me? He asked them. Verse 49. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And I love these last verses. And he was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. May my words be your words. May my thoughts be your thoughts. And most of all, everyone in your sovereignty that takes these words in, as you speak to them, Holy Spirit, may we walk in obedience. That's what you've called us to do. And as we have a decision time, we will make a decision, God, to have you in your fullness in our life. And God will give you praise and glory as you use us. For we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. This is truly a unique story. I'm amazed. They had a mission. They had a word. They had a revelation. They had a mandate. They had a very clear objective. They were raising the Redeemer. They both knew it. Mary and Joseph both knew it. They were parenting the pardoner. They were keeping the King of Kings, and they were loving the Lord of Lords. They were his authority. It says that at the last part of that passage. People would say, oh, no, no. Yes, they were. He made himself subject to their parental authority, it says it. They were his authority, and yet he was the architect of all creation. Yet they lost Jesus. Now, we struggle. I know you do. Taylor County Camp folks, I know we struggle because where's he going with this? What kind of great theology? And is he a heretic? Is he teaching us something? Don't go that deep for me, okay? We're talking about our everyday life, how close Jesus should be to us. We talk about conversation and touching him and being around him. They assumed, watch this, they assumed that he was with them. They assumed, I said that'll preach too, by the way. They assumed that he was as close to them as he always had been. They assumed that he was right there in the family network like he had always been, and yet he wasn't. Wow. And they didn't even notice. Think about this now. They didn't even notice for a whole day. Wow. The obvious things here I wonder how much of this applies to us today. The obvious things that I see here, even this week, is they lost him, yet they were kin. They were kin. If you want to go there, I just want to have a little liberty here to say, I think you can know him and not be walking in all the light that you need to walk. I'm not here talking about a greasy grace or a sin in religion, but I do think there are times that we don't walk in obedience to the Lord, and so there's distance there. I've been reading in the Psalms, and I found a psalm, I think it's Psalm 138, where it says that some were following at afar. They weren't as close as others, and I'll tell you a story in a minute that bears this out. But they were kin, they were in the family. They were walking in obedience in much of their life. Mary had found favor. Joseph was going, all the stuff was going through his mind. He thought he had a fiance that was slipping out on him. And an angel appears to him and says, this is of God. Do the right thing. He didn't marry her. They weren't intimate until after the baby was born, I should say. So they were obedient, yet they lost him. In a lot of measure, they were living out God's will for their life, but yet there was distance. Do you see where we're going with this? Where God's been stirring me? That socially and spiritually, they were active. They were, this passage says, they were observing the Passover as good Jews. But yet, there was distance. Wow. The spiritual premise again is this. Can you know Jesus and still lose him in percentages of your life? Can we look the part on the outside, but yet there be callousness on the inside? Can we look the part, but yet there be distance with us and the Savior? Can we take on other things and they take on priority and we get distracted, and before long, what God calls abnormal and not right in his life, we have defined as normal because we've been doing it so long, it's become okay and accepted. We live in that day and age in the church. God still waits for people to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Wow. We can conclude all this in theology, pass it off, well, that's not me, that preacher, he's done gone over to Mississippi and something's happened to him these years. Or we can take a minute and say, God, does this apply to me? Is there distance where you want closeness? Am I following in your shadow and walking in your footsteps? Or have I gone out on my own and I don't even realize it? They didn't realize it for a whole day. Wow. When I think about this, I just want to answer the question with three aspects. But how does this happen? How does it happen? And they're very simple things. I think it happens in the believer's life. I think it happens to somebody that has known the Lord for a long time. I think it's real simple. One of the ways I think it happens is we choose the earthly over the eternal. And we don't even realize it. How could they? They had one calling and they failed miserably. Ray Singleton, I want to tell the story so bad, but I'm not going to cut up about it. That he gave his wife one job to do. I remember that forever. And I will tell you this. Let me be lighthearted a little bit. In my sermons in the morning, we're going to have a good time, okay? I don't want you to get fired from your job, and I don't want all that. But if you're here, we're going to have a great time. We're going to preach the gospel, but there'll be a lot of crazy stuff that we tell because I have a lot of crazy stuff that happened when I lived here. But we'll still get somewhere with it, but I'm not going to do it tonight, all right? That's as far as I'm going to go with that one. They had one commission, one constant in their life. Can you imagine how that was? For all of those years, I wonder how many times sitting around the table they talked about, I wonder how it's going to happen. I wonder how the Messiah is going to, he's going to do it. I wonder how Jesus, they had it. He had a vision, she had favor, she had a vision, she had a calling. How's God going to do it? They knew it, and then all of a sudden, man, I wrote it down this way. They had an eternal mandate that was manifested in the earthly. And now they cannot find the Messiah. Can you imagine how those days must have been? I can't even imagine. God gave them one job to do, and now they have royally messed it up. One job. That's where they were. You saw how distraught she was when they found him. Why have you done this to us? But then I wonder about us. C.S. Lewis said, if you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you get neither one. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, that you and I should set our mind on the things above, not on earthly things. And I've experienced this in church. I wouldn't say about Bethel Church. Let's talk about Lakeshore Church the last 14 years. of how many times, if we don't watch it, our mindsets and our ambitions become very earthly. And we're trying to define it. We want to see product. But yet we need to understand that there's an eternal thing going on here. It's just like today. I wouldn't dare say that God has allowed all this to happen just for this one reason. But I'll tell you one thing that's been brought home to me. I was never going to supposed to come back to Taylor County Camp and impress people so they could say, oh, look at Brother Jay. If there's one thing God's brought home to me, if we don't come face to face with the living Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we fail, Brother Doug. We fail. If people could come in here and walk out of here through worship and through the word and not come face to face with Christ, we failed. I don't care the dog and pony show we do. If God's not in it, then we're in trouble. Amen? And what I want you to understand is this. It's real simple. They allowed the earthly, everything, all of a sudden with this eternal mandate that they had become very earthly. They'd lost Jesus. And yet I think it applies to you and me as well. I'm not here telling somebody that's converted that you're lost. I'm not here telling somebody that you've got some closet that you need to clean. What I want you to do is analyze spiritually and go, is he as close as he needs to be in my life? That's really what it is. Because we can allow distance to occur. Secondly, not only did the earthly compete and overwhelm the eternal, but secondly, they chose flesh over spirit. I don't know if you know this or have heard this much lately, but the flesh, the scripture says, is the enemy of God. There are many scriptures that say this. Galatians 5:17, write that down and go look at that, where it talks about the flesh wars against the spirit. Romans chapter 8, Paul did some phenomenal writing. Romans 7 as well, where he talked about the enemy and those things. Paul talked about within his members, within his body. Once he was converted, he said there was another law going on in my members. And we talk about holiness. It's whether you're going to deal with that sin nature or not. Whether you're going to allow God to do those things in your life, where you're going to come out and be separate and live close to the cross and be crucified on the cross. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And see, when we talk about those things, it really comes down to, am I going to allow flesh to win or am I going to allow spirit to win? And in this case, if you look at Mary and Joseph, everything about the story became fleshly. It was Jesus, what have you done to us? You remember what he said? He made it spiritual. He said, this should not surprise you where you find me. I'm not about this caravan. I'm not about going back to Nazareth. I'm here to do my Father's business. And he made it spiritual. Now, what's great for you and me is we have 2,000 years to look back on it. Very confusing possibly to them. Jesus said it in Matthew 26, verse 41. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what was going on? He was facing the cross. He had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples that he took with him were sleeping. He came back and aroused them, and this is what he said to them. He understood that you and I have a spirit in Christ that's willing, but we also have a flesh that's weak. And if we live in the flesh, it's going to take us somewhere that we don't need to go. And I believe what happens is there can be distance in our life when we allow the flesh to rise up instead of operating in the spirit. Let me give you one more. If you're not enjoying this, it's almost over, okay? How does this happen? The last one is this. They chose the day over the divine. Somehow the day had become bigger than the destiny. I know this sounds repetitive, but it needs to be said again. It is amazing to me. I've said this for literally decades. I can think back at Bethel Church and some of the things that God led us to do and different things when God gives you a word. Right down to sharing the gospel with someone or something in vision. When God gives you a word, you stand on it. Well, what's unique? It was very clear for Mary and for Joseph. They had a word from God. And yet they allowed the day, and we're guilty. We allow the day, we allow the circumstances. Maybe something doesn't go our way. Lord knows we're living there now. Maybe we allow the day or those circumstances of the day to become bigger than the destiny that God has for us. Is that not truth? Many times people wonder, what happened to my life? I got to believe what happens a lot of times is we allow an event, we allow an episode all of a sudden to become much bigger than the experience that we have in Christ. That's what Suzanne and I are processing now. God, I don't want the event to derail the experience that I have with you. Is that hard? Yes. But But God, help me not to let the earthly get in the way of the eternal. God, help me not to let my flesh get in the way of my spirit. And God, help me not to let the day get in the way of my destiny or my divine appointment that you have for me. Psalm 118:24 says, today is the day the Lord has made. The day. I want you to hear this. Today is the day the Lord has made. Some things that we're having to process a lot is that God is more intricately involved in our life than you can ever imagine. I could tell you, Suzanne and I could tell you 8 or 10 experiences that just occurred the last few weeks to tell you that I know God is intricately involved in our daily life. But if we don't watch it, we will allow the day to become more than the divine. And we can get in a mess. I can just analyze that. I can think through that as a pastor now of almost 40 years. Can y'all believe that? Almost 40 years. And I can think about the amount of times that people allowed something that happened in a day to derail the divine in their life. Something somebody said, something somebody did, some event that happened in their life, all of a sudden it's derailed the divine in their life. God never intended for an event in a day to derail the divine out of our life. Never. We were made for his glory. God help us not to miss the divine in our life. Now I said all that to really get to this, really. It's amazing to me in this story that Jesus was surprised. I don't know if you realize that. When they found him, he was surprised. Why are y'all jacked up about this? Didn't y'all know? Think about that. What was he saying? I'm not doing anything outside of my character of my Father. This shouldn't surprise you. Did y'all think I was just going to fall right in that? It's a great, whole nother sermon or two in there. But where did they find him? And this is what's great for camp meeting. You know where they found him? They found him in the right place. How many people I've seen, they went running to the wrong place. Now you could disagree with this theology-wise, theologically, that's okay. I wouldn't even be bold and say you can be wrong, but anyway. But I've always said this. I said Judas would have went back to the right person for forgiveness, he would have found it. But he went to the wrong people to get it right. You know what camp meeting is? Camp meeting is a time that you can come to the right person. Brother Doug, while we were worshiping tonight, I just thought about the amount of times that I've sat right over there where we were sitting, a little further back. How many times I've come to the altar as a pastor just for God to get something right. Next rung of the ladder, Brother Wayne. Just up, Lord, whatever you want to do. This setting is great. Some of you in the room would know this, but there's some wonderful things that have happened in my life right here. Right here. When I was 14 years of age, right here. It was a night just like tonight. It was a little hotter under here, I'm sure. I'm pretty confident that's the fact. And I came down an altar right there. Where I'm pointing, I know I'm not missing it, but I couldn't be missing it much. 14 years of age, sitting right back where some of my family's sitting. I came to an altar right there. John Ragsdale, one of our pastors of old, of our denomination, was preaching right in the middle of his sermon. He started talking about being called into the ministry. When he started talking that, I thought he was talking to me. It was almost like a, how'd he know? God had never spoken to my heart. I never had any recollection that was going to happen in my life. My heart is where I coined the saying. My heart began to beat about 90 miles an hour. I thought it was going to come out my throat. And right there, at 14 years of age, God called me into the ministry. I remember the hotel, Brother Doug. Remember the old hotel? We used to come to Georgia camp, our state denominational camp met here, and I can't remember if it was before or after camp, or after Taylor County camp, I don't remember, y'all do. And I left from that altar, went back to my seat, and after it was over, I told two people God had called me to the ministry. My mother was here, she passed away in January. I told some of my family that I always knew that I was the favorite child, I never really voiced it like the rest of my siblings try to do. And now I know he is because he took Mallory to be there with my mama as my child, with my mama. But my mom passed away in January. And but when I was called to preach, I left the service and I went over. She was in her room in the hotel, seemed like on the second floor. And I walked in and sat on the bed and told her that God had called me to preach. Wasn't long after that, my pastor was the president, Wendell Thomas, one of my heroes. And I told him, I've been recollecting that a lot leading up to today, to tell you this. This is the right place. I don't know where you are. I guess the world would assume that if you come out on a hot night and listen to somebody scream and holler out in the middle of nowhere in a tabernacle, you've got to be right with God. But I wonder. I've seen a 77-year-old lady walk the aisle and accept the Lord. I tell you some amazing stories, so I don't take for granted at all that everybody on the sound of my voice knows Christ. And I sure don't take for granted that you can come tonight and you didn't even realize it, but God's shown you tonight that you used to be a lot closer to the Lord than you are now. And you're like Mary and Joseph. You're doing this trip and you're wide open and you got the job ready. You got things out there. You're in a hurry trying to get to the house because you got so much to do. And you got so much to do in your life that you've left Jesus somewhere behind you. That's what I've come to tell you. Tonight's a wonderful opportunity. Taylor County Campground and the Tabernacle is a great place to renew a commitment to the Lord. Amen. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We'll just celebrate with you. It's a great place for refreshment. I think my brother said that earlier when he was leading. I think it's a great place to reenlist. It's a great place to be reminded that God's not through with you. I don't care your age. He's not through with you. No, sometimes we play that game. We got to have somebody else. No. Long you breathing? I think you are. I think everybody here is. You know what's amazing? I could go on and on. But you know what I find out? What sticks out to me? It took 3 days for them to find him. One day they lost him. It took 2 more days for them to find him. Theologically, there's probably people that want to sit with me for hours on end, and I'm not going to allow you to do that. Because don't go that deep on me, okay? But I will tell you, there's sometimes we think it's almost like a drive-through with God. Let me tell you why it's easy to be saved, because it was hard on Jesus. Are we there? Y'all turn me off? Not yet. I'm almost done. Listen to me. You know why it's easy to be saved? Because it was hard on him. But that's not what he said about our walk with him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So camp meeting is a great time for us to say, you know what? Man, I need to just get up there close to him. I've got one more illustration I want to share with you that's found in the book of John, chapter 20. It's after the resurrection. It says that Jesus appeared to the disciples. And he said this to them in John 20, verse 22. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that Jesus breathed on them. And I just want you to take about a 30-second trip with me. Can you imagine what that was like? Somewhere in there, it sounds like, feels like camp meeting. It's an opportunity that we got all these cares and we got all these things and all of a sudden we're in a room, sound familiar? And Jesus shows up. Oh, that Jesus would breathe on us. Let that sink in. Not way out there and I'm trying to catch up with him and walk in his shadow and trying to be pleasing to him and show him how I'm so obedient. No. Jesus, would you just breathe on us? You know what I know about that? This is going to be the deepest thing you hear me say all week. He can't breathe on you if he's not right there. He doesn't breathe on you next door. He doesn't breathe on you 5 years ago. He doesn't breathe on you that you're banking on something that happened a long time ago and you're by God's grace, hoping that it's okay today. No. No, he breathes on you because he's right beside you. And I don't know if there's a better picture of this setting. And I wonder who. I've been on a journey for 10 weeks. I hope I can get this out. Where I could sum up asking the Lord to breathe on me. Because I don't want to miss what God has. I don't miss the story to be told, Brother Doug, because I wasn't living close enough to Jesus for him to breathe on me. They say he said that because that was a look into the future of when the Holy Spirit came. Symbolism, if you will, of the wind of the Holy Spirit coming on them at Pentecost. But for tonight, I don't want you to miss the intentionality that if we're going to have Jesus breathe into our individual lives, he's got to be close to us. And it doesn't happen by coincidence. It happens on purpose. Mary and Joseph. When I think about Jesus' earthly life, people would debate whether John was closer. I don't believe so. I don't believe John the apostle could be closer than the person that brought Jesus into the world physically. All the mamas know what I'm talking about. And yet there was a period of time, this event, where they had so many cares, so many activities, so many things that they had to do, that the distance with Jesus was created. And I want to give you an opportunity tonight. What a great way to start a camp meeting. Maybe this is the only time you're going to be here. It's mighty sad if we know God wants to do something with us and to us, and we pass it off like not being important. He had to be close to breathe on him. And I want to give you that opportunity today. Can I preface it this way? Y'all get ready. Can I preface it this way? How long has it been? I've already had some of you reach out to the sermon I preached at my church last Sunday. Watched it on Facebook. So, Brother Jay, you need to preach that. More than one, by the way. You need to preach that here. I'll seek the Lord about it. I talked about casualness. How God has shown me through this horrific event in my life, how through the days, just this gradual thing, you get further and further away from things. Does God still love me? Am I going to heaven? Do I know that he's my Savior and he's my Lord? Yes. But just through life. Remember what he told Peter? Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. Put your feet out here. Peter tucked his feet and said, no. You're not going to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part of me. Now, Peter, you remember what he did? He said, threw his feet out and said, not only my feet, but my head and my hands too. You remember what Jesus said to him? Jesus said, I don't need to wash your hand and your head. They're clean. I need to wash what's dirty. That's a great picture for camp meeting. I'm not here to tell everybody you don't know the Lord and you've been living a lie. No. But we need feet washing. We live in a dirty world. We live in a world we can get so fast-paced and be going that even Jesus is left behind. He wants to be right up close to us and breathe on us. But he can't breathe on us because we have other things of importance in our life. So tonight, as we begin this encampment, give you opportunity to allow God to breathe on you. Allow God to wash your feet. Allow God to take that distance and eradicate it. How long has it been since you've come to an altar just like this from the public and had a private time with God? He'll meet you here. I can say that truthfully because he always has for many, many years in my own life. So I invite you to do that tonight. Can you lose him? Well, this story tonight said they did. But I've got great news on you for you. He can breathe on you as well. And that distance can be eradicated in Jesus Christ. Amen. As my brother, I'm going to ask you to bow your head right where you are. I'm going to have you to stand. You're going to just sing. You're going to sing. As my brother sings, the altar's yours. Okay? Would you bow your head right where you are? If God has spoken to your heart, I would just ask you to be obedient to him. Okay? And then and we'll close, okay?
Thank you.
breath from the Savior. What a way to start. Thank you, Brother Jay. That breath gives life, gives power, gives strength. Are you thankful for him this morning? This afternoon, I'm still a pastor, sorry. You're thankful for him this afternoon? Amen. You are dismissed. We will see you back at 9:30 for Bible study or 7:30 for prayer. 7:30 for prayer, 9:30 for Bible study. All right.